Hello, Spacers from Austin, Texas. I'm Christopher Schmidt. And on today's show, I'm talking with Dave Olson about Pattern Library 2. Dave is a programmer and sometimes project manager with West Virginia University. He's also one of the brains behind Pattern Library, a web design tool for designers and developers for building responsive prototypes. It's a modular build-in-the-browser workflow, helps web builders and their clients get beyond that old Photoshop comp model that we used to do in the 90s. And it's been recently revamped, and so I'm really happy that he's on the show to talk about the new additions. Before we get started, some notes on where I'll be and some words from our sponsors. The CSS Summit is a three-day virtual conference focused on CSS, SAS, and super friend technologies like SVG, animation API, design systems, preprocessors like PostCSS, and more. You can pick up your tickets now at cssummit.com. The event takes place July 26th, 27th, and 28th. If you buy your tickets, you get recordings for free. Uber is giving me the opportunity to give you, new riders, a $25 credit towards your first ride. Sign up at christopher.org/Uber. You know you can set it and forget it with a Non-Breaking Space show newsletter. When the show's ready, have a new show appear in your email inbox by magic. Sign up at newsletter.nonbreakingspace.tv. You can find notes and links discussed in today's episode at nonbreakingspace.tv. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Telject, T-E-L-E-J-E-C-T, where I try to be witty in spite of my many, many typos. As always, thank you for subscribing, liking, and telling others about Non-Breaking Space show on iTunes. Now, on with the show. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Cool. I guess the first question we usually ask people, just when if they're new here, we haven't had them on the show before, is how did you get into the web? Like, what made you decide, or like, did you fall into?
I needed the web? A job, is what I needed.
What were you doing before the web?
Before the web, I was in college, and so this is like late 90s, and had a wonderful professor, David DiBiase, who forced all of the kids to use HTML as part of the class. And so I was doing geography with a focus on remote sensing and geographic information systems, and doing all this classwork, had to do all these HTML pages. So, you know, all the animated GIFs and all that kind of fun stuff. And then I never really got internships or anything like that. So at the end of college, I didn't really have job prospects. And luckily, a friend had gone to work at NASA as part of educational outreach, and they needed somebody who knew HTML. So it kind of combined it. Like, I knew the remote sensing part from college, and I was able to use those very limited HTML skills, but they were like, wow, back then, to land a job, and then kept in the web industry, as it were.
Okay, cool. So you're working for NASA?
Well, I was working for a contractor with NASA, yeah.
Okay, that's still pretty sweet. And so what jobs did you go from there to there? Like, is this there you went? Straight into
I was there and came straight to West Virginia University because I wanted to work more for a central web team, having more kind of like a strategic view of things.
Okay, that's it. Smart.
And and then I've been here ever since.
Okay, awesome. How is working at a university in terms of, like, I mean, it's kind of like kind of hard to say, but a lot of people, you know, we talk to just don't work at a university. Like, is it different than your counterparts that maybe work at agencies, or what things are you most concerned with at West Virginia that might not be a concern elsewhere?
I think we probably share a lot of the same concerns with industry, especially like bureaucracies, like the bigger companies. We probably have a lot of the same issues, which is just the politics of it all. I mean, and trying to craft some kind of strategy and vision and being able to stick to it through all the various hippos trying to poop on everything. We actually probably have a lot in common with larger enterprises of just trying to get things done within this bureaucratic framework, and being able to maintain a long vision. the other thing is that you maintain things for a very long time, unlike an agency, where an agency kind of can come in, probably feel like they're the experts all the time and get right back out and keep moving. And we're not necessarily seen as experts internally, though I think that's been changing in the last 5 years. But yeah, it has its challenges of the bureaucracy, but it also has a lot of benefits because you can kind of push and do what you think is right to a degree as a frontline person, can have a fair bit of autonomy. Right. So,
yeah, I mean, I used to go, it's been a while since I spoke at Higher Ed Web, but I love the higher ed people because I feel like they're like the final frontiers. They're like, you have to know everything about everything. Like you have, it's a very generalist type of field. And so there was,
it's a lot of last true webmasters.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is especially the smaller schools, and Higher Ed Web is a perfect group to show that off, which is, you have to be an amazing generalist, a good communicator. It's definitely the last frontier of bringing web to organizations and making it all work. It's like small business or something like that, right?
Right, yeah. That's what I feel like when I go to Higher Ed Web conference. I just and I love it because everyone is also willing to share so much. And so it reminds me of the early days of the web a lot. So
we're all in the same boat, and we're not competing, in a certain sense. We're not competing. So we're more than happy to share and commiserate and complain about people over beers.
and this other thing, the other guy. Yeah. So totally get it. Yeah. Okay, cool. And so what I want to talk to you today, I guess, mainly about is Pattern Lab 2.0. Is it?
Yeah.
Or is this two?
We're not just doing two. Brad did like 2.0, so it's got to be two. So we go with what two. Brad.
Okay, yeah, the sequel. So can you explain what is Pattern Lab?
So Pattern Lab, to me, I guess, Pattern Lab is a prototyping tool for taking a set of patterns that may form a design system and like a core CSS that may define your brand and JavaScript, core tools, and being able to quickly prototype templates and pages from those things to show a client, what might work or might not work. And then past that, you may deploy it as a style guide. You may have it as a testing framework for future changes. It's kind of morphable design system tool builder kind of thing. It could do a lot from one little base of code.
But so as its core, like it's, it could do, design treatments and so on. So like, but there's a theory behind it, right? There's a theory behind it.
Yeah.
Design.
Yeah. Modular design. So Brad had the notion of atomic design, like 3 or 4 years ago. The idea that any particular page can be broken down to components and then subcomponents and components underneath that, right? So you can break down a page into a template, which would be kind of like a wireframe-ish, and then a template gets broken down into, in his nomenclature, an organism. An organism gets broken down to molecules and then atoms. So he uses nomenclature within Pattern Lab to let you combine and build various molecules, organisms together into these larger and larger groupings, right? Finally, until you get a page or a template to actually show someone what's going on. So Brad's idea is the theory. Like atomic design is a theory of modular architecture for a website. Pattern Lab is sort of the applied aspect of that. How can we actually put this into practice, take this theory? So that's what Pattern Lab is all about, is taking that modular design approach and letting pretty much anybody quickly use that theory and make stuff happen.
And so these atoms are basically, there's just like, really simple things like a simple search field, or is that too complex for an atom, or is it just like a footer? Is that too
complex? So for me, an atom would be more of a way to describe style. So like a style treatment of colors or a style treatment on headers or whatever the case may be. A search box might actually be a little bit more like a molecule because you would actually probably try to end up reusing that or making slight tweaks to what a molecule is. So yeah, atoms tend to be style treatments. Molecules are that starting building block for the rest of the things, for organisms and whatnot. So yeah.
Yeah. So molecules is like when we start, and so these building blocks are they're just pure HTML, or they're CSS applied to it, or is it just, or if I have an atom, mm-hmm. and the atom is just basic structure. So it's just and if people want to check out, it's patternlab.io, but it's just for an atom is just like just a really basic, but like what you said, like it's just like a search, just a piece of HTML.
Yeah, just a piece of HTML. It's usually okay. A tag, yeah.
Okay, and then molecules is when we start applying the CSS, like you just said, and so when I download, and you when someone downloads the Pattern Lab, they can just start playing around with it and start, you know, do you give them the option just to download an example of all the templates and stuff like that, people have to start building their own?
So there is a demo.patternlab.io, and you can actually download that demo as part of the install steps. Like we give you the really basic install steps, both for PHP and Node. So you can download the demo and start playing around with it. The idea is that you may get comfortable like following through the documentation with a demo, but you'll go ahead and start creating kind of your own, what we call starter kits, which is your base set of patterns, your base CSS, your base JavaScript and images. To start creating your own design system.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I can see in the demos, like, yeah, you have, like, your, all your atoms are basically, like, you know, like you said, colors, your font choices,
yeah. Right?
And I guess, and these are just all, like, even your select menu option is an atom. It's pretty cool. And then the modules is, like, your building blocks are hero graphic, footer, image link, so you can definitely see like it's definitely modular and going towards that. And so, of course, my initial thing is this: I guess building with PowerLab will help out people who are, you know, working with SMAX or BM.
A lot, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so do you find more like SMAX or BM in your work or with PowerLab, or is this doesn't matter?
I think Brad uses BEM. I know internally we use BEM, okay. So. That's where I'm at. When you get to CSS, I'm like, I'm pretty lost. I just follow whatever my front end designer people tell me to follow. I leave it up to them to come up with the style guide essentially for that, right?
Okay. All right, cool.
They're working in it way more than I am.
And I think when I first, like, one of my things, my first amps was with PowerLab was like, because I saw Brad talk about this many times as an event organizer. And so when I finally got around to tinkering with it, it's like I thought it was a design system, but no, it's not really. I felt like it was like an HTML system, and that I would still have to bring my own CSS into it and to make everything work and so on that too. So I felt like, is that a fair assessment, you think, or is that just
that you have to bring your own stuff into it to really make it pop? Like, oh yeah, definitely. It tries to be very hands off. Which is both good and bad, right? It's not a bootstrap where it has a ton of styles kind of already built in for you and you have to override all the things.
Right.
But the flip side is you have to do a lot more legwork to get that basics kind of stuff going on, right. Which is not to say you can't use Bootstrap with it. You can totally like load Bootstrap in, but it's more on the designer and developer and team to build something that works for them than it is, here's the answer.
Right. Okay. All right. All right, so yeah, because I definitely feel like that. I feel like this is. I'm still trying to get my handle about PowerLab and what it means, but I feel like it's definitely. I think it's, you know, it's those people who want to do a custom website solution, you know, that don't want to go to Bootstrap or what have you, or a framework, but also want to start building things in a modular way, which is what it's supposed to be for the atomic structure, the pages, all that too. So it's PowerLab 2. I'm really excited when I heard about it last week that was announced. So congratulations for that.
Thank you.
What were the challenges and what things did you look at from going from, you know, the previous version to this?
I think the first one for me personally was time and focus. I mean, it's what, 2 years in progress from Pattern Lab 1 to an official announcement for Pattern Lab 2. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the life of maintaining an open source project was yes. interesting. I have a bug request. I have an issue. So there was kind of that, kind of maintaining a certain level of focus. The other thing was that we made Pattern Lab a lot more modular. Pattern Lab 1 was very much you download this big hulking box of code and kind of install it and use it, and that's great. But if you wanted to update it, you were like literally just copying folders around, trying to not break things. Mm-hmm. And so just personally, I learned to use like a dependency manager like Composer on the PHP side. We got a lot of feedback regarding like, how do I start setting up my templates easily, right? How do I replace the demo, essentially? How do I do that quickly? How can I hook in my own functionality? How do I make sure that I personally, Dave Olson, does not write every new functionality that's for the system? Because that was one of the big things, right? Trying to maintain a project and everybody comes to you with a request and you're like, geez, I got to write this other thing. I got to write this other thing. I call it open source guilt. Like you always feel like you're on the hook to maintain this baby for other people. Mm-hmm. And no one's cutting you a check and you feel bad asking for a check.
Well, which is also like the counter argument to open source software, right? It's just like big business, you know, it's like, oh, you can't trust open source software because of the, it costs money to maintain the software too.
Oh, so, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's one of the things that's kind of the back of your head. You know, agencies are using this thing to keep their lives going, right? <That's really laughs> yeah. And so I feel kind of bad sometimes when somebody's like, yeah, so I was trying to get this to work for a client and it wasn't working. So yeah, there's the open source skill and just trying to make sure that I built it in such a way that somebody could just maintain their own things. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to rely on me as much. Okay. So that was the big difference between Pattern Lab 1 and Pattern Lab 2, is that Pattern Lab 2 is way, way more modular for people to add their own things to it. That is unfortunately not really documented at the moment, but that's the other side of open source.
Well, how'd you go about doing that in this release, making it more modular, making it more maintainable for other people?
So the first thing is using a dependency manager. So for the Node folks, I mean, they're probably all familiar with NPM, right? I just type NPM install and I go get some other package. Mm-hmm. On the PHP side, that's a tool called Composer. So embrace Composer to be like, you can do Composer install, whatever. And we've tried to make sure that anything that's within this Pattern Lab ecosystem installs really nicely and takes care of a whole lot of things for you, like being installed in correct locations and updating files and all that kind of stuff. So that was the big change. That and also using an event dispatcher within Pattern Lab so that people can hook into other parts of the system without me having to write anything. Right? So they can manipulate data, or they can manipulate patterns, mm-hmm. And have things kind of happen.
For people like me, what is an event dispatcher?
Okay, so let's say we have a block of code that runs, mm-hmm. and we say, like just like in JavaScript, you would say, data is about to load. It sends it out to all the things listening, right? Just mm-hmm. like you have a listener. You can do that in PHP just like you could do it in JavaScript.
Oh, so a listener, basically. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. You add a listener, and that runs when that event fires.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So basically, it seems like I know one that like when Brad was talking, going to other people, and he gave his, did give his talk about Pattern Lab. People always talked about Node. It was just like, I see him give this talk a couple of times. I think Node was like either the second or third question.
It wasn't one. I'm surprised.
It was the range was 0 to 3. I think it's a very nice evolutionary step to go there to the Pattern Lab 2. I really want to say 2.0 so badly. So I really, but yeah. So are there any things that you like about any secrets or anything like that Pattern Lab 2? I mean, it's a lot of work like to go from setting it up for the basic idea to make it like to use the NPM and stuff like that too. So, I mean, I don't want to gloss that over. So is there anything else that you like to get that set up that you appreciated, or like you're like, hey, yeah, we did that?
I think we haven't quite scratched the surface of what it allows. And just to be really clear, there's still a PHP version of Pattern Lab. And that's what I maintain. Once everybody's like, no, we need Node. There's another gentleman, Brian, and like I've met him multiple times and I can't say his last name. We'll call him Brian M. He'll listen to the podcast and hopefully get a chuckle. And he actually maintains a dedicated Node version of Pattern Lab. So if you're interested in using Node and Pattern Lab, it is now available for you in Gulp and Grunt edition. So you can use the one that works best for your task runner workflow. Pattern Lab PHP still works as a task with Gulp or Grunt if you want to. What I'm kind of intrigued by with the PHP version is integrating it more with Drupal. So a lot of the Drupal folks are using Twig templates and wanting to find a way to do a design system with Drupal. And so I've been working a lot with some Drupal folks, phase two, to make that kind of connection happen in a little bit better way. Not everything is Node. I know everybody loves Node for their workflow, but there are some really big tools out there that are still PHP, and we're definitely going to support them.
What? I can't hear you.
Later, WordPress or
what?
Yeah, so it's not that cool thing.
Yeah, cool. So I think it's Brian Muen Zenmeyer.
You probably did a better job than I can. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, okay, so that's another thing. It's like, so you're still maintaining a PHP version, and you have the Node version. You're able to use Grunt or Gulp for that. So I feel like that's pretty good. So, and from talking to you a little bit, it sounds like you're still writing documentation about Pattern Lab. And
so the core documentation for actually like using Pattern Lab in terms of creating patterns and the things that you can take advantage of with patterns to help stitch things together is there. How you can use dynamic data, which is one of the really, really cool things about Pattern Lab, that you can stick in a 140 character long block of data to see if a name breaks, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you go get real data out of your CMS. You can bring it into Pattern Lab and actually populate all of your patterns with it and see if stuff starts breaking on you. Starts becoming this this really neat tool for combining various disciplines of like the content folks, and the communicators can come in and look at it and start mucking with things. A designer obviously can go ahead and muck with things. And then a developer, a back-end developer, can start saying, hey, this is how the templates are going to lay out. Is this actually going to work in my final production system? Or these are the variable names that these are the data attributes that people want. Is this actually in the database? And start having that conversation between everybody really at the get-go. And have a really nice cyclical conversation, iterative conversation about how this is actually going to work in production.
Right.
And speaking towards working in production, one of the things that we have added in Pattern Lab 2, which is a big difference from Pattern Lab 1, is this notion of pattern engines. So in Pattern Lab 1, you just had Mustache, which was really great for me and great for a cross development with Node, because we knew the Mustache pattern engine worked, roughly similar, right? That templating language is going to work similar. But there clearly was a call for more templating languages. So on the PHP side, we have Twig now as well as Mustache. And then on the Node side, they have Handlebars. I think they're doing Twig right now, and obviously Mustache, but they keep adding more, right? So you can make sure that Pattern Lab can be integrated deeper and deeper into your production end, not just a pure development tool.
But that's one of the things you talked about, describing the workflow. And I found like it seems like it's Pattern Lab and being able to import content, live content in JSON. Just to me, it just feels like Pattern Lab becomes like, hey, let's just do like quick testing to see if this idea works.
Exactly.
Let's get this little testing. And then, I got the client came up with some brain colors. The designer came up with some ideas for this. And then it's sort of like this kind of snowball going out like effect that like before you know it, and the content strategist has some content scopes, for what the content's going to look like, what's the shape of it. And before you know it, you're actually testing a real breathing prototype.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's sort of the beauty of it. And you're in that final environment of the browser, right? Everybody's in the final environment of the browser. You can see, like, is this actually going to work responsibly? Is this not going to, how's this going to layout going to work? Yeah. So it becomes a much faster way of developing, sharing, starting conversations. It really is about communicating amongst a team,
right?
And not just, you know, we keep using that idea of throwing something over the wall to the next person to deal with.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, you know, from responsible design, you know, summit days and artifact days, like, we definitely want to avoid prototyping in Photoshop as much as possible. So,
yeah,
not that anything's wrong with Photoshop. I love it. So, but you just don't want to just give a comp to your client anymore and say, hey, this is what your website's gonna look like. So,
and the one thing I'd like to see, I haven't seen it yet, maybe somebody has worked on it, is visual regression testing with Pattern Lab.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So if you have all of these patterns kind of built, right, and you're going to start playing around, you can say, hey, I made a CSS change to this one pattern. Oh, it broke this other pattern. Mm-hmm. And if you use visual regression testing, it could be all automated for you to kind of have a better feel for how minor changes are going to affect a lot more. Or, you know, mucking with content. Like, we had this really long headline because somebody signed up with a really much longer name than usual. Did it break a whole bunch of stuff? You can find out.
Okay. Yeah, is there a way to do a plugin, or would it have to, like, do a visual? Is there something that can be baked into Pattern Lab 2.1, or is that? Do you think that's something like someone externally would have to write?
I think somebody could bake it in today with like a gulp or grunt. You know, you're just going to say, like, go get these files from that Pattern Lab has generated. There's nothing really in Pattern Lab that's doing it. It's just It offers you that base to let you start seeing your design system in a really granular way and combining dynamic data that you can start taking advantage of.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't know if you were like, yeah, a little bit beyond my scope right now, but I just, like, in terms of, because I just, my machine's totally porked right now. But I was just thinking, like, if this is something like down the road, like, you know, Pattern Lab 2.1, that, like, oh, you can do this, you know, just download the dependencies required for it, and then you can just have it be part of your file or gulp file, or whatever. So
what would be really cool is for somebody to write it themselves and document it and go, this is how you add it to on top of what we're doing. And I think that's kind of the important thing with Pattern Lab too, is how much can we develop a community around the tool for people to share and comment back, like, hey, this is my solution. You should go ahead and use it as well, because it is so modular that you should be able to do that kind of thing. Like, add this gulp task to whatever you're doing already on top of your Pattern Lab workflow, and you got it. Yeah. We're trying to be a lot more transparent about that kind of stuff, trying to build more community. We're not on the Slacks. We're on the Gitters. We did gitter.im Pattern Lab. And we're there all the time. I get the little alerts to my phone so I can kind of chime in and help people if they need it. So it's another way of kind of interacting with us and interacting with the community and getting some help done. I know the Node and PHP communities are kind of growing there, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And so, and Gitter is just a chat that's associated with the GitHub project. So you can actually have a thread, conversations that go on with open source software. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the big difference between it and Slack is that by default it's open, right? So you, as somebody who's not signed in, can actually go read it. It's all on the web.
Okay.
So you can kind of look through and see if you haven't an answer to your problem, or you can sign in with your Twitter account or your GitHub account and do stuff.
Is there anything that if anyone's listening, like, you would like help on Pattern Lab? Like, yeah, I think you have issues. There's, you know, issues that are open. Like, there's add credential plugin enhancements, investigate use of multi-byte strings in UTF-8. You know?
Yeah, that was this morning. I have to do that. Somebody from Italy noted that the nav gets kind of messed up when they have accent marks. So that will be fixed this week.
Okay.
So I think the things for us are always just to see what examples of what people have done and ideas regarding just larger design systems, and trying to just share your stories about design systems in general. It doesn't necessarily have to be about Pattern Lab. I think that helps the community, again, in general, to start finding ways to document, quickly build modular and have this notion of being able to start testing front-end assets, hopefully fairly easily.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely. I think design systems are here to stay pretty much. So yeah, I just, it's almost someone tweeted over the weekend, like, it's like, if you don't have a design system, I don't know, you know, like what you're doing. And so I was like, you're not really building a website. And I was like, really? Cause we survived the 90s somehow, but going forward, I think you need to have a design system just to make things easier for you.
Design systems are similar to like the rest of development since the way the development's gone like in the last 4 or 5 years. So it's more complexity with kind of crossing our finger that's going to make things easier. Yeah. I don't know if it always makes things easier. Trying to get, you know, onboard somebody with Node is, or upgrade NPM dependencies after 6 months because somebody on campus hasn't done that. And then you're like, oh, geez, we busted your machine for 3 hours. We have to come to your office.
Yeah.
That can be kind of a pain, but hopefully in the end it makes life that, like, if we add up all the positives, it makes life easier. But yeah, I mean, there used to be a time when you could have tables and space for GIFs and
yeah,
you know, and that was simple development.
Right. Well, that's how it happened. Okay, cool. Is there another question that we always ask, like towards the end is, it doesn't have to be about Pattern Lab, but though it can be, is there anything that you're passionate about right now about the web or anything like that? Like that you're fascinated by in the industry or not?
I think design systems and this idea of process and communication is where I'm really interested right now. Is how do you get all the appropriate stakeholders talking and sharing so that a design system is properly implemented? That's one of the big challenges that we have in a bureaucracy here at West Virginia University is to be able to say, we have this assets, we have this brand that we want to implement in all the places, but trying to break down those barriers and be able to talk to people to make them kind of trust us and us trust them is what I'm most interested in at the moment, is how do we make it easier to communicate and to share.
Right. And I think like as a managing a project, like a website design, it's like nothing gets people talking more than having an artifact, like a design template or something visible for people to see. And so by having a design system like Pattern Lab and having something like that's a living prototype, is this, it'll allow people to start talking a lot more, like even people like from stakeholders to, you know, people on your team, they're helping to build it. I think opinions come fast and flying once they agree. Rather than an abstract notion, right?
And the idea with the design systems, we start learning and going, oh, hey, you're facing this particular problem in your unit. We can modify what we're doing, or we need to import that to make that work better. And now we both know more about each other.
Right.
What the problem you were trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And we're going to help you solve it, as opposed to right now, if somebody's going to go off and do their own thing because they feel like they're, not that they're unique, because I mean, they do have a problem, but that should we all be going back and forth.
Right. And I feel like it helps. It's almost like a beer in a way, like having a design system.
Yeah, totally.
Like it gets people talking. Not that people have to drink beer, but you can go coffee instead. But it's so much easier. People say no so easy, but having a design system, having something there to talk about, and gain those ideas, and having just anyone talk about stuff, you know, just talking about their ideas for the project. Is a win because you're actually talking rather than I'll wait until I see a comp, you know, type of thing.
No, it can totally be a dartboard. That's fine, right?
Yeah.
Being a dartboard is fine, but we can all talk about it while we're throwing darts.
All right. Cool. All right. Another question I have before we end. How do you keep up to date on technology and how do you keep on leveling up, extending your skills?
The Twitters seem to be the primary one right now.
Yeah.
And then Slack. So there's a design system Slack that was created by Gina. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely high on the list for me to learn. Going to conferences. Okay. Seeing all the CSS and responsive web design summits. Those have been really good as a team.
Your check's in the mail.
Thanks. But no, seriously, we watch those on campus, so that's really good. Yeah, that's kind of where we're trying to be. Seeing the conferences, the more we can bring on campus, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, that's one of the things where we do our online summits, just because we felt like there's like universities, they don't have a budget to send people out. And so we really want to go out there to where people are and say, hey, if you want to talk to speakers, you want to listen to some great people who are in the industry, check out our online conferences. So, and that's why we do it. So it's really great to hear that. So I appreciate that a lot. So, and the check is in the mail. So cool. How can people find out more about Pattern Lab and more about follow you on the internet? And
so for Pattern Lab, that would be patternlab.io, because we're like all the cool kids with the .io domain. I'm on the Twitters at DM Olsund, and yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and congratulations on the not 2.0 release of Pattern Lab, but the 2 release.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Christopher.
All right.